Hello and welcome to the Mal and Johnny Show. Well, we've had a bit of a sort of like a different type of weekend for the both of us. You've had a bit of sadness. I've had a strange weekend, which I'll share a little later as well, something out of the ordinary. But yeah, you've lost an old friend.
Yeah, well, you know, she was a wonderful girl. She was a dancer called Sandy. And I first worked with her in Panto in Cardiff in 1980.
Wow.
And when I was got the gig to do Monte Carlo, I had to take four girl dancers with me. She was one of the dancers.
Right.
And she was a brilliant dancer. I mean, she did loads of stuff. I mean, she was always working. I mean, she did that that video for Elton John, your old pal.
Oh,
Do you remember that one when he did I'm Still Standing?
Yes.
So there's a big line of dancers, and they all do like spin, ding, 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 like that.
Yeah.
And one of them was Bruno Tonioli, and one was Sandy, my friend.
Well, well, well.
And, but unfortunately, the poor girl, she had cancer about 10 years ago, even more. And she seemed to battle it. She had the, you know, the operations and everything, and all the chemo and everything. Anyway, it came back.
Yeah.
And she was working up until a couple of weeks before, because she still did stuff, still a beautiful girl. So she wasn't dancing anymore, but she was doing, like, you know, promotions and things. And it was very sad. And I got a call from my other friend, one of the other girl dancers, who now lives in Malaga. You know her, Kathy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, Kathy rang up to say, we've lost our friend, Kathy. Well, it knocked me for six.
Yeah.
And anyway, I had to go to the funeral. I just had to. So it was in Streatham.
Right.
So I drove to Streatham, which is no mean feat, and then I did the funeral, then had a couple of drinks with them, and I drove back home. So I was absolutely cream cracked, so I couldn't talk. But it was a great do, because there was loads of ex-dancers there, people I'd worked with.
Yeah.
And Bradley Walsh turned up, because his wife was a dancer who'd worked with Sandy.
Right.
And I think Sandy used to do Miss World with him as well.
Wow.
He was in bits. He was crying. I mean, he must have been very close. But, I mean, she was such a lovely girl. I mean, beautiful.
Yes.
And a nice person, if you know what I mean. There was never any problem with her. She was always happy and jokey. She was lovely.
It's amazing, you know, because I'm not sure whether that's still possible. Is it to have a career that long without becoming a household name for somebody like Sandy?
Well, yeah, she was just like always worked.
Yeah.
But when she was a dancer, she always worked, because she was such a good dancer. And she looked young for a long time.
Yeah.
So she could get away with working at, we'll say, 30, when most dancers are finished at 30, aren't they? 25, 30, they give up and go to something else. But then she did other things like promotions and stuff like that. And then she'd always go and do her workouts on in Pineapple Studios and things. It was great. She was great.
So who else did you meet while you were there? Old friends.
People, you wouldn't know them all, but I mean, they were like, some guy came up to me, he says, I was in Monte Carlo when you were there. He said, I was doing something for Paddy Stone. I said, well, Paddy Stone was the boyfriend, I said, of Irving Davis, who was my mentor when I was a kid. He was in my dancing school, and Irving became a very big choreographer in London, doing all the Cilla Black shows and so on and so on. And so I had all this crack with people that I hadn't seen for ages. I was, oh, did you work with Jeff Ritchie? Yeah, Jeff Ritchie used to do all the stuff for Marty Kane, and I did Miss Wales with him. He said, because I used to do those bits in the middle when they were tossing up the marks.
Yes.
They'd go to a bit of a cabaret, it'd be me singing, you know, girls, you know, a song about girls or something.
Yeah.
And then I'd dance with the girls and the dancers and so on. So and I know it was Brian Rogers I worked with. So all the choreographers and all these dancers who were now like 70 and 65.
But they all look like you. They all look really fit and well.
Well, they look fit. They don't look like me.
Nobody looks like Johnny Tudor.
And I saw Kate, who was the fairy in pantomime with us in Cardiff New back all those years ago.
Yeah.
She's an actress now. She does loads of stuff.
Yeah.
But you see her popping up on things like Casualty and this, that, and the other. It was just great. And it was a lovely do, because everybody's... there must have been 200 or 300 there. It was packed.
Wow.
And funny enough, she was interned in the same cemetery as Dorothy Squires.
Wow.
And I had the number from Emily, where the grave was. I went looking for Dorothy's, but it was so wet, I couldn't go trampling all over the place. Yeah. So I didn't actually find it. But I must go back one day and put some clothes on Dot's grave as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and maybe still is, and I just am not a part of it, amazing community, you know, all those dancers, entertainers. As you say, yeah. That was somebody's boyfriend, you know. Everybody knew about people's orientation, and it wasn't a problem, was it? We're talking about a time when, outside of that community, it was a problem.
Well, it was illegal. It was illegal at some time.
Until,
I think, the late 60s. It was illegal. I mean, Tudor Davis, another great friend of mine, when I worked in the Pigalle in London, he was one of Irving dancers. But so the four or five of us did this show in the Pigalle. It was like a review.
Yeah.
And we shared a dressing room, right? Yeah. He used to wind me up. So I said, do you mind if my girlfriend comes into the dressing room? He said, you bring a girl in here, dear, I'll kill it with a stick. It was always the banter, you know.
Yeah. None. What a community. Well, talking about cabaret, I've been booked for a cabaret location just off Piccadilly. It's called the Crazy Cox. COKS.
I've heard of that.
This is Adele is the restaurant. And through Rhea Jones, really, who is down at the moment, and I'm probably going to do a bit of recording with her. So, and what I'll do is, when she's down, I'll ask her whether she could become a guest on the programme. She's got a couple of shows where she does it quite regularly, and so does her brother, Kerry. But they do two shows a night. They do one at 7:30 and one at 9:10. So I've got the 9:10 slot on April the 16th, so it's not long to go. It will be just me and a piano, me and a guitar. So no, because, you know, quite often these things now, I take sort of like video and stuff like that. So no, I'm going to have to stand on my own 2 feet, Johnny. There's going
to
be
You'll have to be like me, one man band.
No hiding place. I'm looking forward. It's only 90 seats, I think. It is 80 seats and 90 seats. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I tell who does it quite a bit. I think it's Bobby Crash. Remember Bobby, piano player?
Yes.
You know, he made a lot of money. He wrote that song for Orville, you know.
Well, I wish I could fly. Well, right up to the sky. But I can't. I can't.
it went to number one.
Oh, goodness me. No, that's
so you earned a few quid out of that.
Oh, well done, Dave.
Bobby, I've known him for donkey's years as well. Last time I worked with him, we were both on a ship coming back from New York. There was when you think of the cabarets they used to have on the ships, there was Vince Hill.
Yeah.
There was me. There was a fellow called Alan Stewart, a very good impressionist singer from Scotland.
Yeah,
Scotland. You know Alan Stewart. And there was Bobby Crush. And there was somebody else, I can't remember. But we were all on the ship together. It was a great crack, you know, in those days.
Yeah. So I've been away for the weekend. It's sort of like, wasn't really expecting, but I went to Bluestone. Now, Bluestone is like one of these, it's like a whole, it's actually like a city in its own, a town in its own right. It's got its own, I know, roads and canteens, and not canteens, that would be restaurants, a swimming pool. I mean, when I see a swimming pool, you know, it's like a leisure centre, and they've got soft player. I mean, it really was, I was really...
And they got all these, like, wooden cabins, haven't they?
Yeah,
like
wooden cabins. Yeah, and what I was really impressed about was the people working there were lovely. Now, it no sense daft, because that's their job, is to be lovely. But, you know, sometimes you go away and, you know, it's all a bit much, you know. And it's not surprising, because it's hard work and people always want stuff when you're working. But they were also Australian, just very friendly.
All right.
All up for a chat. And the food was really good. I was expecting, you know, when you go to these canteens, because we had... It was my youngest grandson. He's just two, and you know, you take him for something to eat, and you think, I expect it'll be burger and chips. No, they didn't. Aye. They didn't have burger and chips. They had like things like gyro. Do you know what gyro? I think I'm not quite gyros or gyros. It was like chicken in a you make your own sort of like a flatbread, and had a bit of this, bit of salad.
Oh yeah, but like I know what you mean. Yeah,
like a kebab sort of thing. But it was like, I thought to myself, this is really. You know, it was really quite good, and lots of families, and they, my son-in-law and daughter go there. They go there Christmas time, and they have all, you know, Father Christmas,
the turkey and tinsel.
Yeah, exactly. So that I can heartily recommend it.
So well,
if you're thinking what to do with the grandchildren, because I know you have them all the time as well, and it's not far to go. You know, because particularly from Swansea, it was like an hour and a bit down to Arbeth. I always think. Do you know what I always think about Arbeth? I always think of the lovely Calvin.
He
used to say, Arbeth Narbeth, underneath, pomme de terre, Arbuth, twinned with Pomme de Terre.
He was from that way, I think.
Yes. Gwyn. Yeah, he's an Arbuth boy.
I still can't believe he's gone. He was so, I mean, until he went, he was like as sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, wonderful. Yeah. Oh, my downside to yesterday was I got flashed on the M4.
Who was it?
Camera got me. Because you know what it's like. You're going along and you're in a, and all the traffic are with you. I was doing about, I must have been creeping up to 80 instead of the proper. And I went, flash, flash. Oh, here we go. And then I thought to myself, John, it's only a fine.
Yeah, it's a fine.
They're dying in Iraq. Forget it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Put it into some sort of some perspective, isn't it? But it is it's an annoying thing. It hasn't come through yet, is it? So you're wondering, you've got 14 days to think every
letter. Or will there be any film in the camera? I don't know.
I parked somewhere the other day, and it's 90-minute parking spot. So I went out, and then I realised I hadn't bought something. So I went back, and I must have gone over 90 minutes, but he said you can't return back. Even though I'd left, you can't return within 2 hours. So I've been waiting every morning now for the fine to come.
Waiting for the thing that comes with the draw.
I've been doing the same thing as you, John. Thinking it's okay.
It's okay. It's not okay. The end of the world. We're still here. We're still working.
We're still going, John. You know?
I saw a lovely thing on the film the other day in the newspaper. Sorry, you know, the picture of Mick Jagger.
Right.
A picture of Paul McCartney, and next to them was, I can't think of his name, Biden. Right?
Joe Biden, yeah.
Yeah, so the three of them, there's octogenarians, all three.
Exactly.
And when you think about it, they're like live wires, those boys. They're working all the time.
Exactly. So, you know,
I think his problem is his speech, because he stutters.
Yeah.
There's a problem getting stuff out. So he sounds more gaga than he probably is. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, and they make people make fun, don't they? People make fun. And one person in particular. Particularly makes fun of him, so.
Oh well, no, he is. Yeah. The Trumpingtons. That's where he should be in Trumpton. He can't do it.
Other potential dictators are available, so we just will clarify that.
Well, I'm looking forward to the election. I want to know what's going to go on then.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to win.
I don't know.
It's a poison chalice, isn't it? Because all the money's gone.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. The money's gone, yeah, but that's beside the... Oh, you mean our
election? Yeah, always election.
Oh, yeah. Well, I see now that Sunak is rolling Boris out again to go to go canvassing all the red seats, because he's the one who got him in the first place. Whatever you say about Boris, he's like a rock star, and he turns up and everybody's, because he's a character.
He's a character.
But running the country is a different game, isn't it?
People who are characters, you normally just sort of like, you know, you want to see on the weekend, don't you? You don't want to run new life, you know. Oh, he's a bit of a character, isn't he? Let's put him in charge of Parliament.
Do you know what, though? Have you noticed a change? That one's not this change of the story, but same. If you get a very beautiful woman, right, they tend to think they're not very intelligent, just because they're good looking. No. It kind of takes it away from what they can actually do. You take that girl in that was holding the sword.
Oh, Penny. What's her name? Penny Mordaunt.
Penny Mordaunt.
Yeah.
Well, she's very bright. Yeah. But because she's such a good looking bitch, she looks like a film star, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, they were saying because she carried the sword so well, she'd become prime minister because she carried a sword.
That's right.
you should never judge a book by the cover, or as my Auntie Winnie used to say, never judge a sausage by the skin.
That's right.
There's probably a lot more underneath.
I don't know what you think, but I can't be bothered with this woke stuff. I mean, I don't want to get political, they're going too far with some of this woke stuff. I mean, woke. Somebody told me the word comes from a black thing in America where they use this jargon, and it sounds like woke.
Yeah.
You woke up or something. I can't remember where it came from.
Because you've been asleep. Because you've been asleep, so you've got to be woke. You've got to woke up.
I suppose there's something like that.
Yeah.
But they want to change Mary Poppins now.
No. I
mean, they do.
She's perfect in every way. I got to know the lady who wrote it. What was her name now? Mary Poppins by... Oh, gosh. Anyway, the lady who wrote it, because I was a researcher on the programme, it was a time when Mary Poppins wasn't very popular. Right. But she's got a new cherry tree lane. Nesbitt, is that Nesbitt? I'll have a little look. No, I'll just do it in here now. And so I was the researcher, and so I was the one who got to chat to her about it. And she was absolutely lovely. Have you seen the actual, you know, the Walt Disney film and the film about Walt Disney?
Oh, about her? No, yeah. I didn't see that. But I think my agent rang me and said I got an audition for you. I said, what? For a chimney sweep in Mary Poppins.
What?
But I didn't actually get the audition, so they must have filled the place. But it'd be one of that routine on the roof where they're jumping
P.L. Travers, her name must be. She really, you know, in the film, which Mrs. Banks, is it? Well, anyway, Saving Mr. Banks, which is the film about Tom Hanks being about Walt Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it makes out that she wasn't really a big fan of the film. Well, I got to tell you, she really wasn't a fan of the film.
She didn't want it to be made into a film,
no,
did she?
No, she was really, you know, quite outspoken even to me as a youngster, I remember. And then she sent me a book then. She sent me Mary Poppins, The Cherry Tree Lane, signed as well. Yeah. And it must be, I must have it somewhere.
You want to keep that?
Goodness knows, probably with a fortune, man. Probably with a fortune.
Well, that's right. Now, you know, I'll tell you who played Mrs. Banks in the film.
Yes.
She only died the other day. Glynis Johns.
Oh, yeah, she was brilliant, wasn't she? I loved Lucy.
She was 90-some-odd now, she just died, and Alwyn had worked with her in Under Milkwood.
Of course.
When they did the film of Milkwood,
yes,
she was in it, and she said she was such a lovely woman. Yes. She said, she had that lovely voice, would you come and have tea with me, Alwyn? Oh. Said it would be a pleasure, she said. Yes. So she said, went to the hotel and they had tea and sandwiches together.
Isn't that,
you know,
lovely? What a memory to have. Oh, and I always remember on Parkinson singing Sending the Clowns, you know, which was fantastic. Written especially for her, because she couldn't really sing. And she didn't sing it, but she sang it brilliantly.
She spoke it, yeah.
She was fantastic.
Isn't it funny how you get some actors, they can get away with just doing the words. It's like Judi Dench when she was in Cabaret, you know.
Yeah.
Because she's not a singer, Judi Dench, but she got away with, you know, singing the songs.
Yeah, fantastic, you know? Fantastic.
I love her. I think she's great. She's got such a sense of humour. She's always laughing and giggling, isn't she?
Just like us, Johnny. Just like us.
Just like us. Oh. You've got to live life like to the full, but enjoy life.
Oh, good stuff. All right, well, look, have a good week. Have a good week. I hope it, get your breath back.
I don't get flashed anymore.
No more flashing now. Johnny Teetering in flashing at the M4. Maybe I should call that. Maybe that's what we should call the episode.
Caught flashing on the M4.
Caught flashing on the M4.
Everybody come and look at
the We could do with a good headline.
They say, sex sells.
Yeah. Well, I remember somebody said to me, with this record, man, he said, we need more sax and we need more violins, you know. Sax and violins. Always Zep sells. All right, boy. So it's goodbye from the Flasher, and it's
well, for me. Ta-da.
Ta-da.